Okay. The reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south on the road to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet speaking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled along, preaching about the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Alrighty, so if I could please have the kids come up, that'd be awesome. And then I also need the youth to come up as well. So how's everyone doing today? You guys doing good? Yeah? Yeah? Well, that's good. Year four? Well, that's awesome. Let's hope so. Wow. Mom to the rescue. All right, so as you guys just saw, Mrs. Hummel came down and gave directions to Riley. Have you guys ever been given directions for something before? Yeah, hopefully you have. It'd be kind of hard to get through life without directions. And how many of you like listening to directions all the time? These guys are in the same boat, I'm sure. They don't like listening to me all the time either. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to do a little game. And this game is called Simon Says, all right? So what's going to happen is Lucas here is going to lead everyone, not the congregation, unless you guys want to join. You can definitely join with them. But we're going to do a little game of Simon Says. So if Lucas, if you want to come to the front center, and youth, if you want to get in with the kids, that'd be awesome. So everyone stand on up. Now, how this game is played is Lucas is going to say, "Simon says, pat your head." Okay, so when he says Simon Says, you pat your head. Okay, so everyone go ahead and do it. Okay, now his goal is to get you out. So he's going to say, "Simon says, pat your head," and then wait a second, and then he's going to be like, "Stomp your toes." And if you start stomping your toes or your feet, you're going to be out. Does that make sense? All right, so Lucas, start us off.
All right, guys, this game is really easy, so y'all can sit down. You guys don't need to stand up. Cool. All right, Simon says to stand on one foot. Stand on your right foot. Simon says switch feet. Simon says lift your elbow.
I'm not even close.
Simon says sit down. Simon did not say stop trying to lift your elbow. Simon says stand up. Simon says you cannot stand up using 2 feet. Simon says pat your back. Simon says, tap your nose. All right, it's getting a little bit difficult. So Simon says, y'all can stop doing what you're doing and sit down. Now the next thing we are going to do, it's a little bit difficult. Simon says, do the chicken dance. But before we do the chicken dance, we are going to have Grace and Melissa come up here and show us how to do so.
Okay, guys. So each thing we do like 3 times, except the clapping, but we'll show you how to do it. And then do it. So, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, and I clap 4 times. Okay, do you want to stand up and do it with us?
All right, everyone can have a seat. Good job. So, did any of you know what the chicken dance was?
No.
No? All right, so if Lucas would have been up here and said, Simon says do the chicken dance, what would you guys have probably done? You probably would have gone around like this and maybe moved your head a little bit.
Yeah.
That would have been considered a chicken dance, okay? So sometimes we're given directions, but we don't know how to follow them out. And it's really nice when someone or some people come up and give us a helping hand to understand what we're trying to do with those directions. Does that make sense to everybody? So next time that your parents say, clean your room, ask for directions and how to do it. Or just know how. Or, I dug a hole in that one, but you know. Or you know what, the next time you need help with homework, ask your parents for help, or maybe a student next to you, or maybe an older sibling or something like that, because asking for directions can help out a lot in knowing what to do. So I have a treat for everybody, so if you all want to come over here. Now, they're all the same thing, except there's different colors for some of them. So just grab one, and then you guys can head back to your room. Grab one. Just one. Once you grab one and go. Go ahead. Good. Grab one and go. You're welcome. Noah, yours is behind the podium. Behind the podium. You got him? Okay. There's Rice Krispie treats behind the podium if you want it.
Hey, where are these?
Just fishy crackers. Fishy crackers.
Fishy crackers.
Yep, there you go. Whew! I got one left. That was perfect. Well, today we're going to be talking about Philip and the Ethiopian. And I just want to give you guys a little bit of background on what was going on at that time when Philip was whisked away to go talk to the Ethiopian. Philip, now this is Philip the Evangelist. This is not Philip the Apostle. He had been called by the apostles to help out with their service in Samaria. Philip was originally from there. And his gift that the disciples or apostles figured out really quickly was evangelism. And so they put him in charge of going out and evangelizing to people. Now, Philip was of an outsider, technically, because he was from Samaria. He was still a Jew, but they didn't look at him the same way in the culture at that time. And so he was kind of a maverick to the apostles' leadership because all of them had been Jews, and then they bring in the Samaritan, and everyone was like, well, what's going on here? Well, God had a plan all along to go and use Philip to convert the very first Gentile to Christianity after the death of Jesus. Now, what was really cool about this situation is that there was cultures clashing, but Philip never got scared. He didn't turn back. He didn't freak out because he was asked to go up to an Ethiopian and share the love of Jesus with him. A few other things was that the word reaching this Ethiopian would end up causing a massive conversion in Africa. He ended up leaving. Once Philip was taken away by the Holy Spirit, he ended up going to Ethiopia and preached the good news there. They actually have documents of saying of how a eunuch came in, historical documents saying that a eunuch came in and the Christianity just exploded in northern Africa and the Ethiopian area. So even though we might see it as just a one person becoming converted, it turned out into being a massive conversion through the parts of Africa that he went to. Before this chapter, we see Philip in Samaria with Peter and some of the other disciples, and they had been preaching, and they had just gone up against Simon the sorcerer. Now, if you remember the story about Simon, he was the big head honcho in Samaria. Everyone respected him because he told everyone he was the big deal. He knew stuff. He could see the future. He could predict things. And so they had just defeated him in talking to him. He ended up repenting in a way we don't know for sure if he ended up coming to Christ or if he left away his old ways. But that is where Philip is. And after that, we get into verse 26. And then we see him going to being told by the angel to go to the Ethiopian. Now, the three things that I want to get out of this sermon is to look as Philip was called and he answered that call through the angel's word and through the prodding of the Holy Spirit once he got to the road between Jerusalem and Gaza. Second thing is, he was put into an awkward situation and he didn't back out. He was put into a situation where he had to run alongside a chariot with a random guy in it that he had no idea who he was. All right, so that's awkward. Number three, he was whisked away when he got the job done. Okay, when we look at that, we're like, well, I would want to stay with the guy. I want to keep building that relationship. But that's not how God had it planned. He had it planned to where he got the job done. There was 6 billion more to go around the world. All right? Got the job done, 6 billion more to go. There were 6 billion people around. That's where our job comes in right now as Christians. We got to keep on moving. Now, how I'm going to tie this into where we are as a church right now is we're going back to that sheet that we worked out with Exano and turning the disillusioned into passionate builders. This is a prime example from the Bible on how we see Philip go in and turn a disillusioned man who is ready to become a passionate builder. He just didn't know how. And Philip comes in, points him in the right direction, and the Ethiopian becomes a huge force in his country for the movement of Christianity at that time. Starting in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south of the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Okay, here's a little problem. There's the road. On that road, there's robbers, there are Romans, there are Gentiles, and there's horse manure. All right, not a lot of good things going on at this road at this time. And that's all the angel said to him is go down to this road. Philip falls right away, doesn't even think about it. He followed that 3-second rule and he was gone. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. What a wonderful way to get things going for a ministry moment right there. Angel comes to you. I need you to go down to 92nd and Burleigh. Okay, I can do that. What am I going to do there? Not going to tell you until you get there. All right, I'm off. Angel comes in, gives directions as the messenger. No funny business was attached to it. It wasn't like he was telling him to go walk on water like Jesus did. It wasn't like he was telling him to go into the synagogue where Stephen had just gotten stoned and proclaimed the gospel there. He was like, no, just go down to this road. Now, the one thing that we see in this verse is the very first thing that the angel says to him. He says, go. He doesn't say, oh, by the way, if you're not doing anything right now, you should probably go down to this road. I heard it's really nice this time of year. Okay? He doesn't do that. He commands Philip, and Philip instantly goes. He follows that command right away. After he listens and follows through on the command, he sees a chariot coming down the road. Now, with the eunuch, he's kind of an interesting fellow. All right? Born a Gentile in Ethiopia. What scholars have said is that he had converted to Judaism, and he was worshiping in the temple, but because of his mutilation to his body, he was not allowed to enter the inner courts. So therefore, and I'm going to have to find this word, he was a proselyte of the gate, which meant he accepted the faith, but he was not allowed into the inner courts, so he had to worship by the gate. Now, at that point in time, he had bought a scroll. Now, for those who don't know what scrolls were like back then, they were parchments that were rolled up, and they were just super, super long, okay? And they were one continuous sentence, okay? It would be like trying to read English, but just in one sentence. It's really hard to do if there's not spaces or commas or period. So this guy was trying to read this, and it was in Greek, so he spoke Greek because of his important official. He was doing all this kinds of business. But he wasn't understanding it. He wasn't getting what Isaiah was trying to say. Now, we see dedication in what he was trying to do. Ethiopia is around 200 miles away from Jerusalem. Okay, so we see a dedicated man who's willing to go 200 miles to worship at the temple, even though he's not allowed into the inner sanctum. All right, he is an outsider for those, for many of the Jews, they would consider him an outsider, even though he was part of their faith. But we see dedication, we see the willingness to travel, and we see a willingness to learn, okay? There are people out there who have the willingness to do so, but they don't know how to get it going. They're willing to learn, but they don't have anyone to teach them. And that's where Philip comes in. But what surprise Philip must have felt when he went down that road, saw the chariot coming, and saw the Ethiopian. All right, as I mentioned before, there's a culture clash going on here, all right? He's a black man driving a chariot, important, because only important people got to drive chariots back then, and he didn't even, like, think about it. He didn't complain. He didn't pull a Jonah and hope that the guy got destroyed by lightning or something like that, all right? He didn't pull where he wanted to just be like, well, send someone else to do it, like Moses did, all right? He instantly went up to the chariot and started walking alongside it. Now, in verse 30, it starts out, then Philip ran up to the chariot, okay? Imagine you're in a chariot. You're going really slowly because you don't want to get dust on your new parchment that you just bought for probably a good amount of money. And all of a sudden, a guy runs up to the chariot and starts walking by you as you're reading out loud, all right? Ethiopian probably freaked out a little bit, or at least I would have. I would have been like, okay, what are you doing, dude? You're walking besides my chariot right now. This isn't cool. And he starts reading. Or Philip runs up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from this earth? Could you imagine being non-Christian and trying to read that that paragraph right there? Okay? I would have no idea what was going on. I'd be like, so there was this guy who was led like a sheep to the slaughter. Are we talking about the real sheep? Are we talking about the author? Are we talking about someone else? In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Okay, so there's words that he's pulling out of it, but he doesn't get who the passage is talking about. And then Philip was like, well, do you understand what you're doing? Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, no. Then the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. How many times can you think of in your life that you've had an opportunity to talk to someone about the gospel and you backed out? All right? Think about maybe because of appearance. Their clothes are torn. Their clothes are nice. They're a different background from you. Different ethnicity. Ugh, that was a hard word. Different gender. All right? Different age group. All right? We as a church can come up with so many silly excuses not to share the gospel with people. And we can come around and say, you know what? There's a lot of us in this area, a lot of Christians in this area. I'm just going to let the next person go because they're more qualified to do so. Or I'm going to go tell my friend about this so they can come and do it so someone else can do the work because I'm too busy right now. I've got work to do. I've got school to do, whatever it is. We come up with so many excuses to not go and tell them about the gospel. How about with some, maybe with a friend where you don't want to ruin that relationship because they're doing something wrong, but you figure, you know what? Relationship's more important. I don't want it to be rocky between the two of us. I just want us to be friends. How about a family member? Is there someone out there in your family who's been leading the wrong life or walking away from the Lord? And you're just like, you know, I love them, but I don't want to hurt them. So I'm just going to let them be. The list goes on and on. We don't like conflict in our lives. All right, that's just the bottom line. We don't like aggravation. We don't like the fact that when people are talking to us, we don't like the fact that they might be angry with us. We want to be loved, and we want to love everyone. That's kind of how our culture has been growing around us. And here's Philip, told to go up to a man he didn't even know, in a circumstance that many would consider weird or awkward, and he was told to go prophesy and give this man what he wanted, which was the word of God and understanding. All those excuses I just made up sound silly compared to that. But when in my life will I go up to someone and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, or do you understand what you're saying? Because so many times I roll into that shell and I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it because I'm scared, because I'm not prepared. I didn't have 2 weeks to figure out how to do it, so I can't do it. And that's where Philip took on trusting the Holy Spirit. He took on what the angel had told him, and he followed it through. Now, when we talk about Jesus, it's really easy to do it in here, in the sanctuary. I know most of you in here, maybe not on a first-name basis, but because I've been going to this church so long, I know most of you. It's easy for me to come up here and say, hey, this is what Jesus said, this is what we should be doing, go out and do it. But what about in public? People get scared because they're like, I'll be ridiculed, I'll be laughed at, I'm not going to make friends that way. And those are the obstacles that we have in our lives. There's no doubt about it, they're obstacles. But those are ones that we have to overcome. Those are the barriers that we have to break down in order to take our stand on the wall. Now, as Philip comes up to the chariot, it was going slow, like I said, it was going slow enough so that there wasn't dust raining in on the parchment. The guy was reading out loud, and they were on an abandoned highway. Philip comes up and starts a conversation with him. How many times could we just, even starting a conversation, could lead to a life-changing experience? I'm not the most socially active guy out there. If I am going up to a random person, it's going to be like, hey, how you doing? Cool, see you later. I'm out, all right? I am not good with talking to people I don't know. Now, if you know me, I'll talk your ear off, and it might get annoying by the end of the day. But going up to random people is just not my thing. And here's Philip just asking a simple question. Do you understand what you're reading? And when you look at it that way, it's like, man, I could just go up to my friend and say, hey, do you understand the way you're living right now is not helping you with your spiritual walk? Do you know it's not helping you with your friends? It's not helping you with your relationships, with your family? And how just a simple question like that can then go into an experience where you can say, hey, let me tell you what God says about this, and let me help you. Let me be a friend to you. And Philip comes in, and that's what he does. He becomes that friend. He becomes that mentor for an Ethiopian who is ready to learn about it. Now, with the eunuch, he had no idea what was going on. I don't know about you, but in school, back when I was homeschooled, if there was something that I didn't get, I didn't like doing it. Math was one of those things. I hated math. Did not like doing it at all. And when I saw a problem that said, what does X equal? I'm like, who cares? All right, it's X. It's a letter. It's not even a number. There's no point to this. And what would happen is I would get frustrated because I would think, all right, I've done 2 plus 2. It doesn't equal X. How does that not equal X? It should equal X. And my dad would come home, and I'd be like, Dad, help me. I don't know how to do math. And so my dad would sit down and be like, oh, this is super easy, blah, 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 and write it out for me and explain it to me. And I'd be sitting there and I'd be like, yes, sir, that was the correct answer. Thank you very much. I'm gone. All right, next question. I didn't understand. You could teach me until your teeth fall out, and I would still not get math. I still don't get math. I don't like it. It's not my favorite thing, like I said. That's where the Ethiopian was at this point in his relationship with the Lord. He wanted to get it. He had a willingness to learn, but he didn't understand. And that's where Philip comes in and is like, hey, I'll be your mentor. I'll be the guy to explain this to you. Verse 36, as they traveled along the road, so this is after Philip goes into, he starts out with Isaiah, explains what that is, and then he goes into the gospel message of Jesus. So as they're traveling along the road, they come to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. As the journey continues, Philip had done his job, and the Ethiopian was ready to be baptized into the Christian faith. They find water. Now, as it said in verse 26, they're by a desert road, okay? So most historians are thinking that it was closer to Gaza at this point. They had traveled a good amount of ways, and the water could have been as simple as a little puddle on the side of the road because it's a desert. They don't get a lot of rain there. But that wouldn't deter the Ethiopian, okay? He was so set on getting baptized. He was like, hey, there's a little bit of water there. Let's go. I want to get baptized. I want to share my faith. So Philip takes him and baptizes him. There's no sense of, I can't do this with you. There's no disconnect there. Philip is just all for this. The Ethiopian has a contagious attitude. The Ethiopian wants to be with God. He wants to be that servant that he's been reading about. And so they are in the water, and they rise out of it. Now, that could mean that there was water deep enough that they were submerged. It could mean that Philip took his hands and just poured it on the Ethiopian, having his eyes closed or something like that. It could just mean that there was just enough water to where they could stand in it, and then he poured it on his head, something like that. We don't know for sure. But after that, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. All right. At this point of the story, as I said before, this is the part where I would want to form a relationship with this person. All right. My relationship needs would be like, all right, I just explained what Christ is or who Christ is. I explained what salvation means. Now I want to form a relationship. I want to make sure this person is going to get going along the right way. Again, that's not what the Spirit of the Lord had in mind. Yeah. Philip had his job completed, and he was done. He didn't rest. He didn't get a Saturday sleep-in day because he got the job done, all right, what I would be expecting. But no, he went, and he was preaching as soon as he left, all right? That's where we also can fall so short sometimes. We like to just be in our little comfort zone, and we don't like to be pushed. We don't like to go into something else. We think we got one job done and be like, all right, now I will settle down. I'll take a breath. And then maybe in another week or two, maybe then I'll go talk to someone else. Or I've got this homework due in 2 weeks. I'm going to let it ride until 2 weeks. And then once it's done, then I'll get to it. I like taking time off. But Philip, that's not his style. He's an evangelist. He knows what the Lord has called him to do, and he's going to do it. And that's a challenge that we today in the church have to come to grips with, where we might find a comfort zone with the friends that we're around, with the people in our church, in our family, but Christianity is not comfort to where we need to get used to it. We need to be sharing it with other people, okay? When we get stuck in our little comfort bubble, that's where God wants to come in and say, hey, you need to pop this, and you need to get out there. You need to share with the love that I have for you with other people. And we can't be sitting back and being like, oh, someone else will get it. Or there's radio, there's TV, there's Facebook. They'll hear it some way, some other way. It doesn't need to be for me. We need to take that call and step up to the plate and make sure that we're doing our job the way that Christ would want us to do. Now, this is where the 3-second rule comes in huge, all right? It should be 1 second, really, if you think about it. 3 seconds is still too long, at least in my book. I think 3 seconds, and I'm like, all right, 1, 2, no, not going to do it. See you later. Bye. Out. All right? It's still too long. When you feel that tug on your heart to go talk to someone, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a just complete stranger that you see while you're shopping at Pick and Save, all right? When you feel that tug, you got to move, and you got to do it right away because our sinful nature is battling us. There's a battle going on, and it doesn't want us to win. It doesn't want us to win the hearts over for Christ. It doesn't want us to get out of our comfort zone. It doesn't want to get us outside our walls that we have built. That's where having a daily relationship of prayer and Bible reading can help, all right? With most of my classes that I've been attending with at school, one of the big things that always comes up is the daily devotional life. And I'm horrible at daily devotions because it's extra reading that sometimes I just don't want to do. And I might go for a week strong, and then I miss on Sunday because I'm like, oh, I'm at church. I don't need to read my daily devotion. But then that one day becomes 2 days, and that 2 days becomes 3 days, and that 3 days becomes a month. And that month becomes 5 months. And then maybe I'll get another week in and then stop again. Philip was one, he was a man who was learned in the way of Scripture. And that's how it's going to help us as a church to go out and talk to other people. When we become that learned society that knows what we're talking about. It doesn't make sense for a basketball player to step on the court if he hasn't practiced the whole year, hasn't done any conditioning, hasn't shot a ball in over a year. It just doesn't make sense for him to do that. There's a lot of times where we as Christians think, oh, you know what? I don't need to be prepared. The Holy Spirit's going to help me. And yes, he will help us. That there's no doubt about it. But we still need to be prepared. We still need to be executing our daily devotional and prayer life. If I were to come up here on today and not have practiced, not have written out my sermon, I would have been doing a whole lot of ums and buts and not a whole lot of anything else. And that's where the preparation is key. The confidence is key. The way that we go around talking to people is key through the Holy Spirit, through our daily Bible readings and prayers. We need to be willing to run to those in need. All right? Philip ran to the chariot. He didn't canter, he didn't walk, he didn't hop, skip, and a jump. All right, he ran. All right, the fastest mode of transportation to get there. That's what we need to be like. We need to be running to those in need. All right, we can't walk to them. We can't slow our pace down. We can't turn around and go the other way. We need to run to them. As you look at this church, it has gotten beautiful, I would say. With the new TV screens, the new sign outside, the new paint job, it's beautiful now. The age and decay, though, are going to get to it, all right? Age and decay are going to get to my body, all right? It's just going to happen. I think I'm invincible now, but in another 10, 20, 30 years, I'm going to start realizing the opposite, all right? When you have a chance to share the gospel with someone, that is a chance to help them through the life of age and decay, but it will also give them the eternity in God's in heaven, in God's place. I was going to say God's place, but heaven, all right? You can't look at it as, oh, someone else will do it. This is the chance to impact them for eternity, okay? Now, that might seem daunting, and that might seem like, oh my gosh, I can't do that. That's too much of a responsibility for me. God has called people who have been less qualified, less respected by society, less knowledgeable of the Bible, of the way to talk to people, and he has used them for his good. You can't let those excuses drag you down. You got to fight through those because God wants to use you. The sign outside, after confirmation on Wednesday, I was out there for like an hour, and I was trying to figure out what to say. because I wanted to make it funny, I wanted to make it cool, I wanted to make it so something that where the people would stop and be like, ah, yeah, that's really clever. And then I realized something, is that God has a call for us as a church, all right? He has a call for us to become the light in the darkness. It's our time to answer that call, all right? It's our time to step up to the plate and be the ones who are going to be like Philip and go out and talk to people. It is our time to step up and answer that call that he has through the Bible and through his holy calling. Don't sit back and expect something else to happen when you're not doing anything about it. Get out there and do something about it. The Holy Spirit will be there with you. He will be your strength. He will give you the wisdom on what to say in situations where maybe you don't feel comfortable in. Age and decay will tear you down, but how much more important for it is to give someone the opportunity to know what eternity is going to be like in heaven than for you to be a little uncomfortable for maybe 5-10 minutes. Make sure you follow through, keep going, stay strong, stay in the faith. Pray with me. Dear Lord, I just pray that as we have a call, as you have laid on our hearts opportunities, maybe that we have walked the other way on, I pray, Lord, that as we grow in you, that you would make sure to keep prodding us along the way, to make sure that you give us the wisdom to go up to someone and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Lord, I pray for the fear. I pray for the anxiety. Pray that those would be rebuked in any situation, even now, with family members, with friends, that maybe someone in this church is dealing with. Lord, I pray that you would just give them the strength to battle that. Pray that as you continue to bless this church, I pray that we can be that light to the darkness, that we can go out into this community and share your love with everyone around us. In your name I pray. Amen.